Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 437 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Happy Wednesday, my dudes.
It is Wednesday, my dudes. Hey, on this week, it's a new month, so we're going to be reading all of our patrons. We have a little bit of LeagueCast news, including the release of the June top plays, which is pretty pog. We have a couple things to talk about regarding League of Legends news. We have, was that two stories, two five stories to read. We have a character guide by Aiden. This is kind of falls within, what was it? Pogger dog. Slash like a champion guide. We have a little bit of LCS news, a roundtable, and a bunch of emails. So we got our plate full of League of Legends. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I played a bit of League. I've been mainly playing on a Smurf. I've been trying to learn top. And then I got to a point on my Gold 1 account where I was playing in games similar to my main account despite being Gold 1. So I got upset about that, and I started learning jungle on a different account. we'll talk about who I'm playing jungle in the my champion guide slash champion spotlight section. But other than that character, the super secret character that no one will guess who it is, I was also playing Volibear jungle, and I actually made a tier list for our subreddit for like junglers. I'm not sure if you guys saw that tier list. Do you guys
agree with it.
let me find it. Here it is, Colton, if you didn't see it. It is, I'll post it.
I definitely saw it. I don't remember, but it was like two at the very, very top, right?
Yeah, it's Volibear is S plus, Graves is S, and then every other character is F minus. Because you're fucking trolling if you're not playing Volibear jungle or Graves jungle.
True.
But my character I'm playing actually isn't either one of those, and I think he's pretty good. But yeah, Volibear is fucking disgusting as a character. So I tried
he's
playing him.
Gross, yeah.
And he just wins every trade. He gets through the jungle at 100% HP. His dive is disgusting. His damage is insane. His sustain is one of the best in the jungle. Yeah. So yeah, if you're playing jungle, just play those characters or play my super special pick that we'll talk about in a bit. Other than that, I don't think I had too much going on.
How about you, Colton?
I'm trying to think about my week and all of the very big important things that have happened. So,
well, just mostly one that we want to hear about.
Oh, you want to hear about that one? Okay, so I've gotten back into playing Counter-Strike, and I think I'm like 4-0 in competitive matches so far. So ranked this week is going really well for me.
Oh, that's good.
Except for in League of Legends, where your boy is back to plat. I finally did it,
Return
boys.
Of the King.
Return of the King. Yeah, I maintained a pretty solid, like, 50% win rate and dropped down, so that's cool. I got an S in the game that I got demoted in, so that was fun. The game before that, I think, ended in, like, 13 minutes because our top laner got a solo kill in lane and then started inting, and then our bot lane started inting, and then our jungler just quit.
Your team comp for that last game was absolutely disgusting, by the way. I'm not sure how you guys lost.
Because the enemy team had Ezreal. Ezreal's the best
fucking
character.
The enemy
character.
Team had Ezreal. Our AD carry was awful. That's Raven.
That's fair, yeah.
He did no damage in team fights.
And also, you laned against Xerath, and you did really well, but Xerath, I feel like, is one of the only mids. Vel'Koz is kind of similar, but I always see Xerath do it, where they, like, just... They don't lose lane, but they just, like... They just go even. Even though like you got like 7 kills early, like 5 kills early, right? You fucking just like slapped around, went across the map, slapped some people around. And then Xerath at one point still had like a fully stacked Darkseal because he just like did his own thing and then slowly got stacks.
He walked out of lane and just pressed R and got, I think, 4 kills from bot lane. Just like walking down the river, press R and finish them off. And it's like, what do you do? Like, I'm Zillion. I can't stop a Xerath from leaving lane.
Just stun him, forehead.
Oh, yes. Just walk at him when he's his stun and his slow and all of his poke is longer range than my slow-ass moving Q.
Your character's so good at some of the characters in that game. I was watching that game, and there's one point where the Skarner chased after you, and you double bomb him, and then slow him, and then double bomb him, and then slow him, and then slow him, and then double bomb him. It's just like, yeah. I'm like, that guy wants to die.
He didn't buy Merc Treads, and it's like, once you have 45% CDR, and if you don't have mana problems, like, if the opponent doesn't have Merc Treads, they don't get to move anymore.
They gotta buy Merc Treads or Swifties, and you can't buy both. Yeah.
Like, he was just so fucked. And it was
what if you could buy both? Wait, would that be viable versus Sicilian?
Mundo's Shoe Shop?
The bomb and the slow?
Mundo's Shoe Shop. I think what you do is you just take the Tenacity rune.
Fair enough, yeah.
And then, you know, still maybe go Merc Treads that game. Because I know we had Olaf and Draven. So we should have had a lot of AD. But the Olaf,
I honestly
also
thought
built,
the
like,
Olaf was just going to run through everyone.
Yeah.
He built, like, full damage, though. Mm-hmm. Like an idiot.
That was fun to watch, though. I really enjoyed it.
it was fun to play. but yeah, so that's that. Aside from that, I mean, Texas is doing its own thing here in Corona times. So Nick has Florida memes.
You guys are in the worst spots, actually. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, you guys are like the double epicenter.
With the exception of California, which at the very least is trying.
Yeah.
Like, our states are like, nah, we're fine.
You guys are fucked.
Everything's fine.
I saw a quote from the Texas governor today that, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the White House's, I don't know, primary, like, pandemic expert, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
The governor said, no thank you, Dr. Fauci, in response to some of his recommendations.
Yeah, I mean, that's
wild.
They're just making that shit up. I mean, we don't have as much of that that crazy energy that you guys got with that. I don't know if you saw any of those videos from that, like, was Palm.
Oh my god!
It was like some beach community, and it's just fucking crazy people.
It's just a bunch of like Karens who don't want to wear masks. And
yeah. Gotta let them breathe.
My favorite one was this like very old, pretty senile lady who claimed like God built the perfect breathing machine we want to cover it up in like with masks.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But yeah, that's my life. I've been powering through Dr. Stone. It starts off a little slow because I had watched I think the first three episodes a while back and didn't really get into it, and then I got like three more episodes in and now I'm kind of hooked, so I'm on like episode 20 something now. It's a fun show.
Pog.
Nice. Is that an anime or a show?
Yeah, it's an anime.
Okay.
But yeah, that's pretty well my week. I played some Valorant, and then pretty much everyone's given up on that game.
I still play it.
In our TeamSpeak group, besides Aiden.
I think I joined TeamSpeak on Monday, and there were two people independent of one another uninstalling.
Yeah.
It's a very frustrating game. Like, I mean, just shooters in general like that. Like, it's just a very frustrating game to learn, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've also been playing GTFO, which is an early access game with Henderson, Rick, and Warren. And that's been a lot of fun. It's like a kind of stealth strategic shooter, like survival game. It's been a lot of fun because it's like a good mix of like puzzle and like stealth and like actually planning out your actions instead of like spray and pray. The gun mechanics feel better than Valorant, to be honest. Or at least that's what everyone else has been memeing about while we were playing. She's like, man, the guns in this game feel better than the actual shooter. But yeah, it's a good time and I'm excited to see what else they do with that game. But from there, I'll hand it over to Nick. Tell us why masks are bad.
Masks are bad because they force you to breathe in carbon dioxide. And as soon as you put one on, you're going to choke and die.
True.
Although my second favorite excuse was I can't play the saxophone with a mask on. I'll give you a moment to think about that. That was it.
It's a good one.
It's like, yeah, technically, I guess you can't. She's right. She's got us there. But my week was pretty good. I finally got the approval to continue working from home. After Florida had nearly 18,000 new cases on on Saturday. We've almost doubled our total number of cases, at least in the county that I live in, since last week. I think we're at 92% since last week, which is it's insane. Still see people not wearing masks despite there being a mask mandate. So it's
government can't control my body. Can't tell me what to do.
Yeah. Please take this seriously.
at the very least, the 5G is gonna get me.
Do it for the people who
yeah
literally can't wear a mask and are high risk individuals. So that's been pretty fun. I don't feel like I've played a lot of games. We played a lot of league games on I think Monday. Which was a good time. Making my way through Fable 2 with the girlfriend. Co-op in that it's a good game. It's a good game. I think it holds up pretty well. Co-op in that game is trash. because no one controls the camera and it's not split screen. So it's rough, but we're doing it. Enjoying
Nick,
that.
If you keep not playing League, you'll be the second highest ranked the guest host real soon.
Well, I have the second highest MMR. So
true, and that's what really matters is MMR.
And I'm sure after like two games I will be. So
hey, I won my first game back in Platinum.
Oh, okay, nice.
So all I need is one more win and I'll be in series, and I'm sure that'll be a grueling fucking experience.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's it for me. Did you guys pick up anything on the summer sale for Steam?
No, their summer sales suck, kind of.
I picked up a few things, but nothing that I'm like super excited about. I was just like, oh, this is like $3. This is like $5.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the only one that I'm probably gonna play pretty soon is The Legend of Bumbo, which is a companion to Binding of Isaac.
Nice. I picked up Hollow Knight in Doom Eternal. I have about an hour in Hollow Knight, and I'm not sure if I enjoy it yet. Not a big fan of like the exploration without a map.
You're also pretty bad at hard games, so.
Pretty bad at hard games.
Mm-hmm. You never finished Sekiro, right?
I have not yet. I still need to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to eventually. It's just gonna take me like another time to get into it, I guess. So, I mean, I've beaten every Dark Souls, so.
You need an older brother, Nick. You need an older brother that you can hand the controller to and beat the boss.
I'll be your older brother, Nick.
No, when I get too frustrated, I just look up a guide on what to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend an hour banging my head against the fucking Sekiro boss. Fuck that. So yeah, that's it for my week. We have one new patron, Josh R. Ooh, not a Joshua, though. Are those two different names, or is Josh just short for Joshua?
I think that they are two, and that for a lot of people Josh is just short for Joshua, but like any of those names at a certain point, like people just start using the shortened version only.
Yeah, of course.
Right, like there are people named Christopher that go by Chris, and there are people that are just named Chris.
And yeah, it's just so I because my initial thought was like change your Patreon name to Joshua so we have more Joshuas, but his name is Josh, and we can't do that.
Yeah,
but shout out to Josh R for joining. Thank you, and to the following individuals for supporting us: Aaron, a Dorky Owl, Annie, Antonio, Ashley, Asmo, Austin, Banyumi, Benjamin, Big Peen Sheen, Blooper, Brett, Brother Dust, Buy Stuff, Caleb, Chaz, Chris, Christian, Chris, Coca-Cola, Cole, Corey, Cowboy, Crossing Gaming, Danny Stormit, Daniel, David, Dragon Jesus, Dream Villain J, Drunken Bubble, Dylan, Eden, Elliot, Inebriated Otter, Frozen Ninja, Foxloaf, Gamer Wolf 000, Gray White, Grundle Butter, H Fire, Howling Wind, I'm in the Bushes, Isaac, Jake, Jighe, Joseem, Joseph, John, Josh, Joshua, Justin, Chaos Reaper, Keegan, Kennedy, Kirk, Klon, Amy, Crix, Liam, Lil Barnabas, Lil Lorian, Lofi, Lewis, Luno, Mariah, Marshall, Matthew, Michael, Mitchell, Misa, Molly, M. Kefius, Mr. Church, Mountain Drew 4444, Nicholas, Nightmare, Niku because it's meat in Japanese, Noah, Entate01, Pards, Patrick, Purple Play Panda, Rattlesnake Jake, Rebecca, Red Lefty, Riley, Ryan, Ryan, Spartle, Speedy Spikes, Takaru, Tanner, Wall, Wyatt, Zachary, and Zach. Woo!
You did it.
That list is getting long.
I think
long.
You missed one. You're going to have to reread them.
That's probably true. No, fuck you. And if I'm not mistaken, if you guys were keeping count like I was, that's 95, right? 95 yeah. patrons? So we are very close to 100. Pretty exciting. We've gotten a lot of interaction with our Patreon, which has been super fun to witness.
At 100, we're finally going to release that lewd calendar that we shot, right?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so speaking of nothing, we have the new June Top Plays video that went released today. I watched it as soon as it came out. It was super sick. The music that you picked, Aiden, I think is my favorite so far.
Hell yeah.
Fantastic. Some of the plays are pretty wild. Some of the plays are unbelievably wild, I would say.
Yeah.
Also, I think one of my favorite dynamics about the play submissions is that about half of them are just ARAMs. Which I mean, I don't ARAMs think goes into any fucking, other.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I just don't know if that goes into any other like montage sort of thing. I think it's all like pretty much ranked or normals or whatever. But cool. Keep sending those in. Please check it out. It's super sick. And let's move into the Rising news. There is a mini Tom Kench rework in the air, scheduled for After Worlds, which involves the old Riot special. They're switching his W and his ultimate. Devour will now be his ultimate. His W is going to become a new engage tool that should be less coordination reliant than his live engage ultimate. It says, think a faster, shorter range personal abyssal voyage that damages and knocks up enemies on arrival. Additionally, they're trying out a self-heal on his tongue lash, we're trying to encourage offensive uses of Devour, his ultimate now, by allowing his Q to once again stack his passive. So, pretty insane. I wonder if his Q will still consume the stacks then. But,
probably. Yeah. I feel like that's like not a bad way to balance him.
Yeah.
How would you feel if Q applied, if Q was an auto attack? Like you just
applied
auto
attack. How do you feel if Q applied stacks? That'd be nice. That'd be a good change.
That'd be a thing that they're doing.
I don't think that it applying stacks would like, I mean, being an auto attack would change that much.
And you don't think we'd see a rise of Trinity Force Kench?
Better.
Yeah, I mean, it would, of course it'd make him better, but I don't think it'd be that much better.
I don't think it would be that much better either, but I mean, his power is still in his Devour for the moment, but we'll see.
Gotta keep the power in the Devour. That's the Riot special.
True.
Right,
cool. They have teased a new champion on the PBE. Quote, you have found Lilia in the woods. You can open it July 22nd.
It sounds like it's going to be like similar to the set thing where like you have to do something. And then if you do that thing, you get a token that probably gives you her for free when she comes out.
Yeah. And this is supposed to be another like quirky, colorful jungler, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Jungler. Yeah.
So should be pretty exciting. There is a balance framework update. Aiden, you want to tell me about this?
Yeah, it's just like them changing how they like determine balance. A couple months ago, they came up with a thing like if in like these levels of play being like average, which is iron to gold, skilled, which is platinum to grandmaster, elite, which is challenger and pro play, they have like balance frameworks that are like if the character ever goes above this win rate, we'll nerf them in any of these like different things, or if they're underpowered based on these numbers in all of these different skill levels, then we'll buff them. Like these are like things that we'll guarantee like make changes on based on the framework that we laid out. So they just like made some like changes to like how the bracket is and some of the like numbers and stuff. But they said like it's been like a pretty good like metric for them to follow, which is kind of cool. So I think it's a good way to have like a framework for like a basis of what they should be looking at.
I like looking at some of their numbers too. For instance, they consider, I guess, a champion underpowered if they have sub 49% win rate between Iron 4 and Grandmaster, and they have a sub 5% pick ban presence and sub 5% pick ban presence in pro play.
Yeah.
So it has to be all of those things, not just one, which is pretty cool.
Which I think it makes sense, right? Like, you'd rather have a character be underpowered than overpowered, I think, just, like, because it might ruin the game at a certain elo, right? Like, if, for example, Master Yi is awful at, like, skilled elite and pro, but he still is, like, a character that stomps, like, average play, like, iron to gold or whatever, then even though he, like, has a 50%+ win rate in there, they won't buff him because he's, like... It doesn't meet that one criteria. I think it's, like, a good way of doing it.
And I think it also, like, points to a good, like, way to think about the game is that it's better to have, like, characters be weak than obscenely strong. Because, right, like, there's 150-odd characters.
Mm-hmm.
If Yasuo is super weak right now, like, that's fine because you have 20 other options. If Yasuo will literally 1v9 if he gets through pick ban, it's going to fuck up every single game.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to affect every game no matter what. So.
I think they're doing a good job, though. I think it's good to, like, have stuff like that on the ready.
Yeah, and it's nice to get a peek into how they're doing stuff. Right, because you can see, you could be like, well, this character was 53% win rate this patch. Why aren't they nerfed? And now we can be like, well, this is why.
Yeah, I do think it, like, the only problem it does create is that sometimes there will be times where maybe they go, I think we should maybe look at this for, like, a patch or two rather than, like, go right into our, like, framework because we think maybe, like, this character needs to settle or whatever. Mm-hmm. People will be like, well, it doesn't fit your criteria, so actually you guys aren't following, like, I can see, like, backseat.
So actually.
Like, yeah, like,
yeah, but
like
it's,
that.
Like, obviously they're going to have to be exceptions.
Yeah, but I think that's the only thing it, like, lets itself out to, but I think that's not a big deal for, like, what it actually accomplishes for them.
I agree.
I'm sure they've always had something internal like this, but they're just like, it's cool them publicizing it.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's the return of the Nexus Blitz Pog. Did they say when it's coming back by chance?
It's coming back at the end of summer. They're doing like an extra long test on it on the PBE, so it'll probably be like not this patch, but maybe next patch, I would assume.
Oh, dang it.
So patch, what would that be? 10.15, I think would probably be like my guess.
Yeah.
It'd be the 22nd,
the map looks absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's like Ionia themed. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, like a spring Ionia sort of thing.
Yeah, so they announced they're bringing back like almost all like the little game modes and stuff, but they have a couple like new ones. I think the coolest new one is there's Protect the Soraka, which
that's
if you guys remember
good.
Was a like fun game mode that people used to play in customs back in like season one, where you have four people on each team and then a Soraka, like a beginner Soraka bot on each team, and the goal was to try to kill the enemy Soraka bot while protecting yours. It's pretty well that just there's two Soraka bots that enter the game, but only one of them like whoever's like is last standing alive wins.
I
it's
feel
a great
like assassins combat. Are just gonna fucking shit on that one.
It's just
like,
a
it's
cool idea
good.
Though, because you can like protect or like attack. It's so good.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. It's so fun and unique compared to some of the other stuff. Additionally, the DPS check, where there's one Teemo dummy, and you mm-hmm. have to. It says, "quote You need to out practice your opponent's practice on the same target dummy."
Super sick. I wonder what it's gonna be. I wonder if it's gonna be a full team thing or if it's gonna be like a individual thing. And I wonder if it's like time like limited, you know what I mean? Like it's like you get a combo or I'm really curious what it's gonna be.
I would think it's like you've got 10, 15 seconds or something. And I would hope that it was like a 5v5 in an arena, because it's like you can either hit the dummy or you can like stop your opponents from hitting the dummy.
That'd be cool, yeah. It's a cool
so
idea
funny.
Though. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Nexus Blitz is
nice.
Sick.
Yeah, Nexus Blitz is sick. I'm glad it's only gonna be around for a little bit, like
yeah.
I said last week. Because that's the way rotating game doesn't need to work.
Yeah.
Let's do some stories. The first is from Kimo Saki, who says, King of the Pirates. There was once a man named Gold D. Roger who was King of the Pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him in the gallows, from the gallows, these were the final words he said. My fortune is yours for the taking, but you'll have to find it first. I left everything I own in one piece. Ever since, pirates from all over the world set sail for the Grand Line, searching for one piece, a treasure that would make all their dreams come true. I think it's from Naruto.
Yeah, that's the intro to the Pirates arc, where Naruto stops transforming into a fox and starts transforming into a narwhal. It's really cool.
So sweet.
Next,
thank you, Kimosaki.
Next review is from WikiWikiWa. It says 3-star League of Legends cast, 5-star Avatar cast. They are pretty good, but the real reason I'm here is because they are entertaining enough for me to download Apple Music. Realize that's not where Apple keeps podcasts. Delete Apple Music, download Apple Podcasts, type some words, and then delete Apple Podcasts. I listen on Spotify where reviews are irrelevant. Also, they should just become a Smite podcast if they keep up this Avatar talk.
So do they get confirmed as characters or as skins?
They're skins, yeah, thank God. Okay. I feel like it'd be bad for the game if like they just randomly added in like other IP as characters, you know what I mean, for like brand deals and shit. But I think it's super cool that they do skins and stuff. But
yeah, it's pretty dope.
Thank you for the 5-star review, and thank you for installing the Apple cool. Music just to give a review. Mm-hmm. That's some commitment, WikiWikiWa. Thank you.
Because I think that means he needs an Apple account too, right?
It's a fucking nightmare. Review. It's really cool. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's talk about this jungle character, Aiden.
Okay.
Who can it be, Nick? It's a mystery, right?
Well, Aiden's talking about it. So.
Yeah. All right. Would you guys have guessed it if I didn't send you that screenshot? That like, you probably would have, right?
And probably not, to be honest.
I mean, it would have depended on how you phrased it. If you're like, I'm playing a character in the jungle that you wouldn't expect to be like, oh, I know who it is.
Yeah. There's this new YouTube channel that I found. His name is BQ. I'm just gonna say the letters because I don't know how to pronounce it. It's BQUIPD. He definitely says it. I don't remember how to pronounce it though. And it's a channel where he's created this little community of speedrunning jungle clears. So like he like takes characters and figures out like the best way to do clears. And he had this really popular video a couple days ago of Fiddlesticks jungle clear, where you can do 7 camp fiddle clear in 3:24, which is fucking insane, by the way. And he finishes he gets level 3 at 2:05, which is unheard of. Like that's actually wild. So it's really, really cool stuff. So I was looking through his other videos, and one of his favorite characters to play is Tahm Kench jungle. And that got me thinking, huh, is this character actually playable? And I think Tahm Kench jungle is fucking wild. It's really good. Maybe a lot of it is based on the fact that like I understand like the basic like elements of the character. Like I already have like, I mean, a fucked amount of mastery on him. So I just like understanding of like when to shield and like use his abilities and stuff comes clear to me. But the actual jungle clear and like pathing and like your pressure is really, really strong. So I kind of want to do like a little mini champion spotlight on it. Also shouting out this channel because he's the one who kind of got me into how good it is. So anyways, summoner spells, flash, smite, pretty straightforward. Runes are really, really fun because normally whenever you play Tahm Kench, you go grasp. But for his jungle, Tahm Kench, you go Hail of Blades, which I think is super sick. So you go Hail of Blades, picking up Cheap Shot, Eyeball Collection, and then you can choose between the last three. Ravenous Hunter's fine, Relentless Hunter is good, and so is Ultimate Hunter. I've been going between Ravenous and Ultimate. I think Relentless is also good, but all three of them are like good for Tahm Kench. They're all like pretty sick. And then secondary tree, you go Inspiration. You always go approach velocity because when you hit your Qs, you get movement speed like running towards them, which is sick. And then you can choose between Magical Footwear and Hexaflash. He almost always goes Hexaflash, but I've been going Magical Footwear because I feel like I'm not good enough at jungle to understand when and where I should be to use my Hexaflash properly. I think I used it once in the game that I tried it because I just couldn't find times to use it. Then picking up like your basic attack speed, armor, and then offense for the stats. For a build, you always start Talisman because your attack speed's so slow that the machete doesn't give you as much healing. So your whole point in jungle is you have to figure out the best way to proc Talisman to get healing. Because your jungle clear is almost full HP if you proc Talisman properly. Meaning if you damage a monster with a spell or auto attack, you heal over 5 seconds, right? So meaning whenever you go to eat a camp, you auto it first and then eat it because it does the DOT damage and will heal you while it's in your stomach. So, like, little things like that really, like, make your clear so much better. So, just going through build, you start Talisman, you build it into Blue Smite Cinderhulk. I always go Righteous Glory, second item, and then my third/fourth item is I usually pick up Bramble Vest and go right into Spirit Visage, like, keep not upgrading my Bramble Vest until the end of the game. And then, like, as your last item, you can, like, always upgrade your Thornmail, then pick up either a damage item, like Wit's End, or, like, something goofy like Trinity Force, or you can build, like, more tanky if you see the need to. As for your clear, though, So you always start with your leash side, blue or red. Auto it once and then eat it and spit it out so your teammates can like hit it for the leash again. And then when it gets at 400 health or below 400 health, you eat it and you bring it to the next camp. Whether that's Gromp or Raptors. And then you spit it into Gromp for extra damage, right? And then you, like, once again, you... Yeah, like, so it does, like, extra damage. You can always, like, take whatever camp you're finishing up and spit it into the next one, so it, like, leashes the camp for you, which is super, super sick. You level up your E level 2, and you just use it fucking every single time it's up. You just use it to get a shield. And you just...
Yeah.
You just reduce the amount of damage you take in the jungle by so much. The main reason why you use it as a shield rather than a, like, decaying heal, or sorry, the heal, is because the heal on level 1 is like 40% or something like that, is really, really small, whereas shield, you're getting the full like 100% shield. So as long as you're it's really, really good, right? So as long as you're not over shielding, like you're not shielding 100 damage and you're only going to take 50 in the next 2 seconds, it's super, super efficient. You're like jungle clear super sick because of it. So yeah, you just go, like, if you're red side, you go red, raptors, wolves, blue, Gromp, Scuttle. You can always get to Scuttle before it spawns by doing the clear properly. And your Scuttle clear is probably the best in the game. There's no way you lose a Scuttle clear, first of all, because you're probably the best 1v1 character in the game, because you're playing Tahm Kench with Hail of Blades, meaning you immediately proc all three of your stacks, and you can go for stuns or eats, depending on how low they are. And you can also, if they're not there or if they're already on it, you can use QW and steal Scuttle away, run it into your jungle, spit it out, and then keep it in your jungle by like microing back and forth, and it can never leave your jungle. So you shouldn't ever lose Scuttles. He's probably the best Scuttle taker in the game. You can also leash your like other camps with Scuttle. Like that's how like far away you can like put it. It's super, super sick. Yeah, so you're really just like a power farmer. You're really good at counter ganking. You're not really the best at ganking because your only initiate is your Q, and you have to get into melee range to do anything other than your Q. But your counter ganks are super, super sick. And then if you get into 2v2 fights, like jungle or mid, top jungle or whatever, you guys just win those. His 1v1ing / 1v2ing is like out of this world, and he's an insane character. So I honestly think it's insane. Like maybe it's like because I'm pretty good at the character. The character, that being said, is pretty simplistic to play. But I mean, there are like nuances, like understanding how much you should shield, understanding like how long it takes you to get to people when hitting Qs and stuff like that. Understanding when to use your W on enemies or allies. But I think it's insane. I honestly think it's like, it's definitely below Alistar, below Volibear and Graves. But I think it's like easily like mid to high A tier.
Damn.
It's good, so man.
Pretty good.
It's honestly good.
It's dog, not pog. End of section.
And it's
Are you going to be playing it on your Smurf?
I'm still going to play it on my Smurf until I'm going to probably like climb jungle. Jungle is my worst role in the game by like a lot. But I'm having like a lot of success doing it. I also think it's easier if you're duoing with someone playing it, because if you have a high damage character, not AD carry hopefully or support, I think it's good if you duo with a top or a mid. Late game, when Tahm Kench has a rank 2 or rank 3 ultimate, you just stay with your like hyper carry, like your hyper carry mid or top, and you just, if anyone goes to a side lane, you just double alt to there with Tahm Kench's alt, and you kill them, like 100% of the time. It's the freest kill in the game. It's so gross. I think he's really good. I think this is the second best way to play him. I still think support's the best. I feel like there's no way it's not the best way to play him, but it's way better than top. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, support's the... I agree.
That's think sick. It's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
It's nice. Really cool seeing a character that I thought was kind of dead in like any like of the roles I like to play him, and see how he's can actually be used like really, really well. And it's also really funny seeing like so many people going like, "You're actually trolling playing this," and then I just like hard carry a game. I know I'm smurfing right now, like we're like mid plat, I think, which isn't too like hard smurfing right now. But I'm learning a new role, so
yeah, nice. I think it's pretty pog.
Yeah, it's super sick. I really love the character.
Let's talk about the LCS, where Immortals has dropped their general manager and their coach.
Yeah.
And this was following dropping four of their 5 starters.
Yeah. This is right before they dropped their coach and GM, and then they like switched out. I'm not sure if it was their entire roster. It was either 4 or 5 of their members for their academy team.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they started, really poorly. It looks like it's one of those splits where it just, like, isn't salvageable, so you might as well like play around with your 10 members and see who works together well, like all that shit, you know what I mean, like prepping for next year, which is kind of sad to say like 2 or 3 weeks in or whatever, but it's probably the right call for their organization.
I think so too. Give them exposure to the stage, like to actually playing live, and hopefully you'll be in a better spot next year.
It is funny that they picked up their first win when they sub in their academy roster to LCS.
Yeah. On that note, we have a tweet from Medias. in regards to him being benched, in which he said, pretty weird to hear the players on my team didn't know about or agree with the decision being the decision to bench him. All credit goes to ZixLol, Jungle Juice Law, I don't know who that is.
That's and their Papa strategic Smithy. Coach.
Okay. So all of the coaches, basically. clearly the people not on the team know what's best for it.
That's fucking crazy.
It's
that a
wild
pro player who's like 20 something years old thinks adding all three of his coaches on social media is the right way to deal with getting benched.
Yeah, this seems like a good way to ensure that he's never on a team again.
That's fucked.
He already did not look good.
Yeah.
This split, at least.
And I understand being pissed, right? Like, especially since literally the last season, or maybe it was the last season, or like summer last year, he had the exact same thing where like week 4 and he was benched sort of thing. And it probably feels like shit, you know what I mean? But holy Absolutely. Fuck, you don't act like a child.
I mean, the thing is that like, if it was just like, weird to hear that the players in my team didn't know or agree with the decision. And even if you like at 100 thieves, I think that's not nearly as bad, but like you're calling out your individual coaches, like that's an internal team matter. And they obviously had some reason, whether or not you disagree with it and it's right. I mean, they're the coaches, that's their choice. And like, I would hope that the players have some say in that, because I don't think the coach is doing a very good job. If you know, if it's a 5-man team and 4 of them are saying, no, this is the better player for the role, like, you should hopefully listen to that, but God, this is so unprofessional.
Yeah.
It's like, first of all, there's also a world in which, like, his teammates just go, no, man, I didn't hear about that. Damn. Like, and tell their coach. Like, oh, it's so crazy that you'd ever think this is the right call. I understand being frustrated, but, like, holy, it's just funny, man.
So he's since deleted it.
Yeah. But he had another tweet that was like, he replaced this tweet. This was the original one. And then he replaced it with like, just heard I'm benched. Like very cool or something like that. You know what I mean? It was like a toned down version of this. And then he deleted that one as well, because it was also just fucking stupid. But it's also like, you're getting mad at the people who should have authority in the team. Like, I do agree that in theory, if it's true that the players didn't know, they probably should know and probably should have like a say of like who they think like is a good player or whatever. But also, you're adding the people who are in, like, positions of power to change rosters about making a roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, just compare this to, I don't know, a business situation where you at the CEO of a company and you're like, well, just found out I didn't get promoted. No one on my team agrees with this.
I was watching Summoning Insight, and Monty was making the comparison to like football or something, just like a player being like put on the bench.
Yeah.
And him going, nah, my fucking quarterback on my team said he loves playing with me, though. Like, what the fuck?
For real.
I think also, like, there's a really good chance that the way he's phrasing it is, like, not genuine, and that he says, like, the other players on my team didn't know or agree with the decision. Were like, in his mind, it's probably like, if I walked up to, you know, the mid laner and asked him to his face as the player, do you think I should be benched? Like, they're not going to say, yes, I think you belong on the bench. Or like, should I be on this team even? You're not going to say no. But like, if you also asked them, like, do you think that our sub jungle should get a chance to try? They'd also probably say yes to that. Like,
It's just fucking funny, man. It's so unprofessional. Like, I see his point of view, right? It does suck, like, 2 splits in a row or whatever, like, getting benched, like, so early, where, like, you feel like you haven't really, like, done, like, much, I guess. But, fuck. That's sad.
I mean, 100 Thieves, like, viewpoint is that they can still salvage the season.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Right. Who is their other jungler?
I don't remember. Let me look it up. It's someone who's definitely, in my opinion, a worse player than Medios. So I mean, there's probably a world in which like this might just be like an actual behavioral thing. Oh, Contrax, yeah. So I think Contrax is a good jungler. Okay. I think he's worse than Meteos. But you could, there could also be just like behavioral things, probably showing the fact the fact that he like is willing to throw his like coaches under the bus in a tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't imagine that's like, I think that's probably the last we see of Meteos, unfortunately.
Mm. They also, they got rid of their support in favor of a different, like, so their support stunt was definitely the worst player on the team. I think he's like not a bad player, but he definitely had a, like an awful split. So they also like got rid of him and brought in their academy support.
Mm-hmm. Additionally, I gotta admit it's, well, okay, so I wanted to see Papa Smithy succeed, but it's kind of like satisfying, I guess, to see so many people wrong about 100 Thieves when they thought this team was going to be unstoppable with Papa Smithy at the helm.
I mean,
despite like, him having zero coaching experience whatsoever prior to this, right?
I mean, the first thing he did was bring in the OCE player, Ryoma, who's hasn't done a lot. He's talked about his decision a lot. Like, he's like, hey, like, I think this guy's really good. I think he should have a shot. Hasn't shown, but, like, I don't know. When that's your first roster move, is importing an OCE player, like, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow.
And,
you know what I mean?
And not one on the same level as, like, Maple.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I mean. You're not importing a Korean. You're not importing a Chinese player. You're not importing a really good EU player. You're importing a OCE player, which is a region known for being very unskilled, I guess, like
subpar.
they're still weak compared to NA, right? Like, even if he's like a top OCE mid laner, he's still like, I don't know, maybe not. Like, you could probably find like an NA resident and you're using an import slot on that on a team with someday, right? Like, that means you're never gonna have another import. I like Papa Smithy, but yeah, I do agree. It was kind of like people were like, oh yeah, he's a great caster. He'll be an awesome GM.
I think that's the biggest thing. Is like, he's a great caster. Great personality, seems like a nice guy. He's a really good analyst from everything I've seen.
Yeah,
does
no. Has tremendous
going to be a good, like that. That's a totally other thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, has tremendous league knowledge for sure.
And it doesn't mean he can't be a good GM by like the end. I mean, it's not like not like he's a bad GM because this is his roster. He obviously have limitations, right? Like maybe he didn't have like the resources to pick up like another like crazy insane player, right?
And yeah, but there's things happening behind the scenes we might not know about, where it's like maybe he made a call and someone above his head was like, no, we're not going to do that. Or also like, hey, it's his first split in the role, like he's gonna take some time to figure it out.
Yeah, I guess like what I meant was it's just kind of crazy that people thought this was going to be such a slam dunk instantly.
No, yeah, it was wild how sure people were that 100 Thieves was going to Worlds this year because Papa Smithy was going to carry the team.
Yeah. So, and who knows? Maybe he's done better than the alternative without him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe without him, they wouldn't have had a single win. Yeah. Maybe every game would have been a perfect loss.
Yeah, who knows? Cool, let's get into the roundtable.
Cool. So last week's question was, you're in charge of implementing a new mechanic, item, ability, map element, etc. into League of Legends. What is it? What is it? And what does it do? Colt said, I think it'd be interesting to have a fluid jungle camp spawn, something that would change position of NPC spawns, make jungle pathing more creative and random, maybe even to the point where there's no NPC markers, so junglers wouldn't know exactly what camp were up, and they would have to wander the jungle, potentially encounter the enemy jungler doing the same thing. I don't agree with like the randomness, but I do think it'd be really cool if like all the camps spawned in different areas but had like an indicator or whatever. Like, I feel like that would be like a kind of a cool thing. I think it would maybe be negative RNG for the game, but there's a world in which it's like cool. You'd have to make it like all the EXP and gold way more like close together rather than having like camps like Raptors and Krugs be worth like different amounts. It's a cool idea though.
I think it'd be really interesting if they added like a roaming camp, kind of like what Scuttle is supposed to be. Like if there was like more roaming camps that was just like, even if it like roamed between like your jungle and the enemy, like it went like up and down instead of like left, right.
Yeah. Matthew said, a rod that lets you push allies yourself or an enemy a set distance in the direction that they're facing. Also more elevation related mechanics, not just to move or train or dodge attacks, but to give you increased sight radius on the ground.
He's just describing an item from Dota.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, four staff. You push an enemy, an ally, or yourself in the direction you're facing. And it's super fucking good.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
It's like at least two flashes as well. Probably longer.
That's a lot. That's a big fucking distance.
So sounds like you get to purchase a Blitzcrank hook.
In Dota distance, though, it's like half a flash.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's like, okay, that's not that much distance. But it enables your carries to play super aggressively and your supports just rush this item. And then they just save you. Like, oh, it's so sick.
That's really cool.
Can you imagine the fucking trolling that would happen in League, though? Like, the second you turned towards them, your support would just push you into the enemy team.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in League where there's like, people fucking hate each other after some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, people would troll with it so hard.
What do you guys think about like having like larger characters having more sight radius because they're higher up?
I kind of like that.
I think it's a cool idea. I don't know if it's needed, but like I could see it being a mechanic and being fine.
Or taller characters.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could see it on based on like the character size, but I could definitely see if they wanted to make it like different parts of the map where it's like if you're on the top of a ramp versus on the bottom. I feel like it'd be really tough.
Oh, I would,
because then like you'd have to. Account I would for love if all the size changes.
What if you know like the like by Tribush on I guess like either side like the side where there's like the ramp into like blue I guess it's, yeah blue side try you know how, like there's that like ridge like looking over a river. What if you could see over that but they couldn't see up to there?
I would love if there were like very reduced visibility in the river in general,
yeah,
to be honest,
because it's like lower to the ground. That'd be cool, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I feel like it'd be very confusing for like newer players, but I think it'd be a cool mechanic overall.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. Chris said it wouldn't be released because I'd crack under the pressure from that level of responsibility, but low-key if I made one, it would have no stats but an active that gives you Yumi's W with a 30-second cooldown so you can still cast your abilities from an untargetable position around your teammate. That'd just be overpowered. There's no way that wouldn't be overpowered, right?
Yeah, no, that'd be OP.
Your AD carry just puts themselves on you. No, it wouldn't be AD carry because you know these abilities. Fuck. But still, like, yeah.
You, like, imagine, you just like, pick a control mage.
Yeah. You play Malzahar, get on your whoever, and then
your
use your
own. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Just jump on a singed character. Anyone jump on a singed.
True.
This is one of my favorite ones from Rowan. He says, I want a new mobile enchanter that doesn't heal, and I want his ult to be a reflector shield that can be cast on allies or himself that reflects all projectiles for 1 second for half damage and half the time on the CC effects, like Ash Arrow. Just imagining reflecting an Ash Arrow or a Varus ulti into a charging enemy Darius, the outplays would be insane. I love the idea of like a reflecting
Quick
thing.
Quick Fox in the game!
That'd be sick.
Yeah,
that'd be so cool.
I like the way of balancing it too. I definitely do think it would do like do reduce damage and reduce CC, but it'd be so cool.
And it would be such a nice like highlight play where like you know if the Varus like flash ults, but then your support like flash ults in response, and it's just like what was going to be a pick for one team just gets totally turned around.
Yeah,
that'd be super sick. He could be like what I assume an airbender would be, just like projectiles completely useless. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Nice.
Cool. Connor said 10 bans per team, 2 bans per players.
Shit.
I don't think that's like a bad way of like doing that, like upgrading the system. I like this one more though. Jungles take twice as long to reset their attention, like their aggro. I feel like that would be an awesome change for jungle.
Do you think so? Because that would allow many more champions to How do we word this?
Like double clear camps?
Camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, double clear camps. Yeah. Is that
That's
is that
what
a
I like.
Good thing?
I think it's cool. I feel like I feel like that's skill expression for the most part.
No, I think so too. I'm just curious if like every character should have that. Cuz right now that's one of the things I feel like keeping Fiddlesticks sort of meta versus other junglers. This is clear speed is insane and safe. But if you add that to like Lee Sin, for instance, suddenly the value of Fiddlesticks drops.
I think the main problem is that there still will be characters that can't do it regardless, you know what I mean? Like, if you're only single target, like, Lee Sin actually probably wouldn't be able to do it very well, right? Because, like, what camp do you leash to, like, do AoE while doing single target or whatever. You don't have enough AoE. But I think it's like it is a cool skill expression. I feel like the leash range is pretty tiny on a lot of them.
No, I think so too, and I think that's why I sort of want it to be exclusive, so not every character can do it, and it stays sort of impressive, I guess.
Yeah. I personally am not a fan of the ability to duo camps. I think that like Fiddles abuses it to a level that it was never possible to really do that before, where you're seeing him get like level 4 full clear at, like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking gross.
I think the only comparable champion would be Zac.
I was gonna say Mundo's like pretty quick. I think Mundo and Karthus had the fastest jungle before Fiddle, but
that's fair, yeah.
And I personally think that duoing camps, I would like to see it not become more common.
I'd also be fine with being removed altogether, but
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is like I'd be totally fine if they removed it altogether, because like I think the mechanic of moving your camp while you're taking it closer to the next one to save yourself time,
mm-hmm,
is something that should be rewarded as a good jungler. Is like, I'm not gonna leave red buff all the way in the back of the pit when I know I'm taking raptors next. I'm gonna start pulling it up. But the fact that its range overlaps with raptors enough that I can take both camps at the same time and neither of them are resetting seems a little bit like, oh, what's even the point then?
Yeah, I can see that. I just feel like, yeah, it shouldn't be like a like half on the fence like mechanic. Cool.
What if the buffs are put into a building and you had to enter the building to kill them?
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pards Bay on our Discord said, I would make the top alcove bigger and add an objective there. Maybe like a 3-minute timer that doesn't do too much damage, but it takes a while to kill it if you're solo. Maybe has increased resistance unless there's two allies around. I'd make it just give some gold and XP split evenly among those that killed it. Let's get a little bit more action top lane. Maybe push for some small skirmishes earlier in the game. Maybe shake up the top mid lane meta as well. I like the concept of it. I just don't know if there's a way to do it that it doesn't just become a thing that your jungler comes up, ganks, and then does with you.
Yeah, and I think you have to almost go in the opposite direction, where the objective has to be equivalent to a dragon in value, or you just, it's still the same thing, right? Where you focus bot lane because you trade,
mm-hmm,
top lane, I don't know, 100 gold for a dragon. Like, yeah. What if they just put two dragons in the game? One top lane, one bot lane?
I mean, I think that they could definitely, I think the way you'd have to do it is like, if you wanted to make a big change to top lane like that, just make top like a longer lane. Like, literally just like, make it bigger.
Yeah.
And make top lane even more isolated from the game, where it's just like, I think if you do that, you can start doing really interesting things in top lane, where it's like, this is the island lane, and like, your jungler can go top, but if you do, it's a long-term time commitment, and mm-hmm, there should be a big reward up there, but like, if you don't succeed, it's just like, wow, you wasted like 30 seconds because you walked all the way up to top.
What if they just put dragon up there in Baron / Rift Herald down the bottom?
I think that's a possibility, yeah.
Because then the value of kills remains high bot lane, but the value of objectives remains a little lower.
Yeah. So, like, one thing I would like, see, I think if you're going to add, like, something to top lane, like an objective in, like, the cove sort of thing, like the alcove, I think it would have to be, like, an objective that has, like, two parts to it. You know, have you ever played 3v3 before it was removed? You know, there's the two relics, like the two altars, mm-hmm, I guess. I would like a system like that, where like there's two altars, the top alcove is like much bigger, and there's two altars on each side, like one on each side of the lane. And if you have both of those, you get like a small bonus to like people who are on your team in top lane or something like that. Like a small little bonus, whether it be like,
that'd be cool. Yeah.
A little bit like an extra gold on CS, a little bit of like health regen or something like that. Just something where it's like, you do have to cross onto their side to get it, and it's neutralized if both teams have one of them. But it's just like a tiny little bonus if you are like playing aggressive and like have a advantage, mm-hmm, in lane. I feel like that would have to be something like that, where it's like there is counterplay. It can't just be something that your jungler just comes up and like forces down your throat.
Yeah, even if you did like one in like each of the far bushes.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, yeah, you it's like, okay, cool. If I'm going to stay pushed up, and like you're pushing your tower, like, cool, I'm getting bonus gold or a little bit extra damage or something, but it's like, in order to do that, I need to keep myself fully extended. But that would also like really exacerbate like a one-sided matchups. Like, imagine dealing with a fucking queen. And you're just like, cool, they've got two altars all game.
My idea, though, is the fact that it's on each side means you have to stay pushed up to have it, right? But if you're pushed up to have it, you're way more susceptible to ganks, right? Is the idea.
Yeah.
But like, meaning if you're going to freeze, right? If you're ahead and you freeze, like, if you're ever playing to Quinlan and then she freezes, you go, oh, I just don't get to play the game for 3 minutes, right? But you at least get to take mm-hmm. back that altar. Like, so, like, she doesn't have, like, the buff plus the freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I could see that working. Like, I think all of these are just, like, how do we make the top lane a more engaging 1v1 and not bash at each other until 15 minutes when we can start teleporting places?
Yeah. Olmersh says invisibility consumable 500 gold one charge refillable at fountain. Okay, it shouldn't be refillable at fountain. Makes champ invisible for 7.65 seconds. Okay, if it wasn't refillable,
that's such a
Nick,
specific
is it
number.
Good? I mean, it's just say it's 7 seconds. I think it's OP.
No,
I think it's OP.
Really?
Yeah. Assuming it's invisibility, so, not like camouflage, but.
Yeah, so invisibility is the.
I mean, invisibility.
Like, true invisibility.
It's, yeah, it's
right?
too overpowered if it's invisibility, actually. Like, there's no way. Right? Because, like,
okay,
you're playing an assassin, you go in into their, like, five man, like, kill someone, then just pop invisibility potion, you're out.
Yeah.
But if it's camouflage, is it OP? I feel like it's not OP if it's camouflage, right?
I feel like it's not OP if it's camouflage.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like. It would really make for, like, game-changing fights, because it's just, like, you can get past their ward line. Oh, I guess control wards would still spot you, so.
It's interesting. It's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe if it was on an item rather than a consumable.
I could see it being an item as well, yeah. It'd have to be, like, a low stat item, but, like, a 10-second invisibility mm-hmm. or something would be a cool idea.
It would have to be a camouflage. But I think if it was on an item, they can account for it a lot more easily, right? Because you can see, like, okay, this character is building the components.
True, yeah.
Or they've completed it, as opposed to, like, oh, all the way out of nowhere, fucking LeBlanc just showed up, invisible 8 seconds. Like, oh, I guess she bought that consumable. That's fun. Like, I didn't have any time to do anything about that.
Yeah. Cool. Evie bought 10s said, I think adding origins to characters and making in-game changes based off this would be dope. For example, picking three or more Freljord characters would change half of the map to Zoe and the altar camp appearance, and then it'd be easy to possibly implement small bonuses to pick characters of the same origin, like Pike, Gangplank, Misfortune, giving 50 extra gold as a plunder bonus. Might be broken eventually, but it would be epic and add a new level of lore to the game. I think no matter what, adding like for like visual map changes would be fucking crazy awesome.
Visual, absolutely. Gameplay, I don't like so much, because then you start to get into, like, okay, my fucking team didn't pick, Piltover bonus. Now we fucking lose.
And you're, like, you're developing things where it relies on it, and I know it would be the smallest little things, right? But even look at Zyre or Khan, where their changes are very tiny, like, when you have them together. I think Rakan is a little bit bigger than Zaya's.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're still picked together way more often because of it.
Even though I think they're both a little subpar than the high tier support in the high tier AD carry.
How fucking cool it would be if there was map changes, though. Like, you pick all for earlier and your side of the map's just, like, snow.
It should be. I mean, that would be sick.
That'd be so fucking crazy.
It'd be really cool.
Yeah. Give them a chance to reuse those assets, too.
Yeah. It would be like, a little annoying for them creating, like, they'd have to make, like, say, like, 8 distinct regions for, like, the entire map, but it'd be so fucking cool. I would love it.
Either that, or if you could just, like, get map skins.
Yeah.
Like, I want to play on Snowy Rift.
Yeah, you should be able to, but, well. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, Cyberturtle, he said, I would add a community section where people could make custom games and mods. Imagine a world where 5v5v5v5 could actually happen. Yeah, it seems like every game in the modern era would have that section, but.
Hey, wait, 5v5v5v5 happens all the time. My teammates versus the enemy teammates, and then my teammates versus my teammates, and then the enemy teammates versus the enemy teammates. That's 5v5v5v5.
Yeah.
I think the only way that game mode works is if it's like elimination rather than first Nexus wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be
That could be pretty cool if it was just like four corners and it's like, okay, well, you can stay back in your base and not get any gold, but the other team's gonna make money.
Yeah, I just think there should be like a community tool, or like even if there wasn't like a create your own thing, which I understand not having like a like completely like module, like I can redesign the map to make this game mode happen, but like let us fucking play like fucking what's it called, rotating game modes in custom games. That's all we want. Like, I understand not having them constantly up, because like guess what, if you have every single rotating game mode up in a queue, none of them are gonna be popular. Yeah, but like have them as fucking custom games, man. It makes no sense that they're not.
At the very least, like if you need more argument than that, which I don't think they do, like take the business decision, sell the game modes for custom games.
Like people would fucking
oh, I know
people would riot in the streets.
They would riot in the streets, shit. But like again, like if I had the option and this was the only way, it's like, would you pay like 6,000 IP or Blue Essence to be able to play Earth in a custom
make
mode?
It,
like, yeah,
make it so. Like, only one person needs to own it. Only the game owner needs it.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
I mean, I would do it, but, like, I do think people would riot in the streets. But I just think it should just be available for customs. Like, you're not going to take away from any other queue by having customs be popular. I feel like customs used to be so popular in League, and now they're just dead.
Yeah. I mean, but I feel like it's because of, like, player-created games, I guess, and those can only last so long. Like, without additional, like, rule bending, I suppose.
Yeah, I used to play, like, the, what's it called? What was it? The Nexus, not the Nexus Blitz, the, Dominion version of, like, ARAMs, where, like, everyone went bot on Dominion. Like, that was, like, that was so much.
That was called ARAM.
Yeah.
ARAMs.
that was the best, like, version of, like, all random, all mid. I really, really enjoyed that. I played so much custom games because of that, but.
Yeah.
I miss it. Anyways, this question's cool. Not really for us. If you guys have something to bring up, then that's also cool. But it's mainly for our community. So our Patreon's been doing fucking awesome. We're at like 95 patrons. Biggest League of Legends podcast patron out there.
By patron number.
Yeah, by patron number. So I wanted to pose a question to our community. I said the question is, our patron has seen lots of growth. What type of content would you guys like to see from us? What content would you like to... Oh, I'm just going to read what I wrote because it's actually English. Our patron has recently seen a lot of growth. What type of content would you guys... I put in another word. Why do I do that, Nick? Why do I do that?
I don't know.
I just put in words that aren't
there. Do you need me to read it?
Yeah, can you read it?
Our Patreon has recently seen a lot of growth. What type of content would you most like to see us produce in the coming months?
That's fucking wild. Like, it's... I write it out in English. My writing's good. I'm a good writer. And I just... When I talk, I just put in words that don't exist.
It's like your brain thinks it's autofilling.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to.
Like, I can understand that if my sentence was, like, grammatically incorrect, I would just, like, my brain would want to fill it with something else, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's just a fine sentence. So I just wanted to, like, we wanted to see what you guys had for suggestions for content. Maybe we can do some of them. Maybe we'll give us some more ideas. We just, like, want to create content that you guys enjoy, and you've been awesome the last couple of months. We've seen crazy growth on our Patreon. This is the highest we've ever had on our Patreon since we launched it in 2014. Initially, when I think only Nick and I were doing the show in 2014.
Yeah, 2014. Yeah, I wasn't here when Patreon started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see. We really, really appreciate your guys' support. So if you guys have any suggestions, let us know.
The League Calendar boys. Everyone in the comments.
I mean, I personally would love to do more video content.
Yeah.
But learning how to edit, in addition to all the responsibilities that I currently have is quite overwhelming, I think.
Yeah, just let us know what you guys are thinking. We'll like see what we can do. I know for episode 500 I want to do another Jeopardy thing.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
I think spoilers, this is what, how many years ahead now? This is like around 37.
437, so about a year and a half.
Yeah, it's about a year and a half away. I would love to do, currently, who knows, this might change, assuming we're even still doing this, I would love to do a Jeopardy thing with other hosts from other podcasts, like, from all the other League podcasts, for a charity thing, where, like, we'd, like, throw in, like, like a certain amount of money for, like, charity. I think that'd be, like, a super cool thing.
I got into a solo queue game with one of the hosts over at the Essence Reaver podcast, and we had a nice little chat in a game that wasn't going very well.
Yeah? It was a solo queue?
Yeah, it was solo queue. He was playing Shen top, and I think I was playing Zillion mid, and our Gragas Jungle was just absolutely awful. So me and him were just like chatting, and like he was like, "Oh, Lee cast Aiden," and I'm like, "Nope, not Aiden." And I was like, "It's me, Colton." And then he was like, "Who's that?" And he was just like, "Just kidding." And I was like, "You fucking got me," but I was like, I would not have been surprised.
It hurt.
I would not have been surprised if it was one of our listeners like, "Who's Colton?" Yeah. Then we chatted like at each other, and he's just like, "Hey, we should do like a co-tournament sometime." And I was like, "Yeah." But yeah, we should definitely plan that out for a year and a half from now.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty dope.
Cool.
Nice. Oh, then we can put actual money on the
questions. Like, I think it would be awesome if like we had like money raised for like
yeah.
Like a charity thing, we can like donate it based on who wins. I think it'd be fun.
We can donate it to Colton fixing his ELO, getting his ELO surgery.
God.
Let's move into mail fight. The first email is from Foxa from last week that got sent in, and our Google filter hates our
our website emails.
Yeah, put it into the promotion tab. So thank you very much, Google, for that one. He says, subject, how do I win more? Hey,
that
guys.
Does sound like a fucking, that does sound like an ad fucking subject line, though.
How do you win more?
Okay, true.
You want to win more at life? Follow these easy steps.
Hey, guys, it's your favorite hardstuck iron jungler, Foxlove, back again for some advice. Did we ever make that claim that he's our favorite? Because I think we have several hardstuck iron players.
I have actually a lot more favorite iron hardstuck junglers.
Yeah. Probably like fourth, though.
Yeah, like high, yeah. Second, third, fourth.
Like high four, maybe?
Yeah.
So obviously, it's not me that's losing games. It's my teammates. But let's say on the off chance that maybe it is me, which of course we all know it's not, how can I do better? I find that my early game as a jungler is decent, as I've been playing Jarvan, Jaxx, and Zhao lately, and I'm fairly reliably able to get one or two early kills in, or at least put pressure in lanes early. I absolutely still have things to improve on in the early game, but those are easy to fix. Just some things I need to work on, like time efficiency. Where I get lost on what I need to do differently is when I get ahead. I generally don't know how to push that advantage when I'm up 4-1x. Usually that ends up usually what ends up happening is I end up falling back behind when there's a long section of drought where I'm not able to keep my kill pressure up, and I just end up falling behind in level and then getting killed. Once I'm ahead, how do I stay ahead without giving up the lane pressure my ganks apply? Also, one question pertaining to early game that I don't quite understand. How do I kite / learn to kite with a melee champ? Is it just a timing thing? I find I end up doing a weird jump step back towards the monster when I try to do it and don't get very far. Lastly, where can we leave Starry's? If you say it during the segment, I apparently black out every time. I'm perfectly happy with the length of my email and won't apologize for it. The one and only Foxlove.
That's funny.
That was such a good ending.
That was pretty good.
I'm perfectly happy with the length of my email.
So you leave Starry's on anywhere you can review podcasts.
Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, a bunch of other shit like websites.
Apple Music, just install it, give us a rating, and then uninstall it.
Yeah.
True.
Like lots of cool
things. So yeah.
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 Jungle tips.
So to kite with a melee champ, essentially you just want to be the easy way to think about it is you want to do damage when your auto attack's up, and you don't want to take damage when it's down. So sort of get the rhythm for how your character is attacking, how quickly it's attacking. Attack every time that you're able to, and then run away when you're not.
In general?
That's like the short and sweet of it.
Yeah, and especially for jungle camps, typically with the attack speed you'll be at on first clear, where it's going to matter the most, it's going to be you can normally get off 3 autos for every 2 that the camp gets. So it's like I auto red buff, I step back and I auto it again, and then like I step back again, and instead of it hitting me 3 times, it has only hit me twice because I got to reset it a little bit. It's hard to say it, but like there are plenty of videos out there about how to do it, so I would watch the video and you'll pick it up a lot easier than the audio format's gonna do justice.
Also, just practice it. Go to a custom tool and like go to Gromp or something. Go to like a buff, probably like a red buff or a blue buff, and just kite it so that you're never like walking back towards it, and so it's like damaging you less often, right? Because whenever it's walking, it's not like charging up its auto. That's like the main way you have to think about it. though. Yeah, just practice. Like, honestly, just, like, play around with it. Play, just play those characters. You'll know those characters' auto attacks more than other characters, because every character is different, right?
Yeah. Other things to consider, I mean, if you have an early lead, especially on characters that you're mentioning here, like Jarvan, Xin Zhao, like, just make your team do dragons. Because, like, if you're actually up 3-1 on Jarvan, like, they can't stop you from taking the dragon. You can just turn and win the fight. So at that point, like, if you're just farming camps at the same rate as the opponent jungler, like, you're not gaining anything with your advantage. But if you're taking dragons or just, like, in a lane where it's like, okay, well, they either have to 3v3 us or give up tower, they have to start making those tough decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully that helps.
Yeah, Fox, thank you, Foxlove. Sorry about our filter destroying your email.
Yeah, and don't listen to any of the advice that I gave you, because I don't know how to win games.
That's not true. You did a great job getting a putt, my friend.
True. Next email is from Speedy Spikes. Hey, my dudes. It's been a while, but I've got another multi-part poem for you. Hope you like it. The title of this poem is Help Wanted Ad. This is part one. After months of unemployment, I needed a job pretty bad. I almost gave up, but I found a help wanted ad. Willing to do anything, I will fill the role and provide some much needed damage control. The job includes helping carry and climb. With the added perk of paid overtime, I went to the address hoping to start, but there was a crowd also wanting the part. I scanned the room for a short while. To my dismay, there were many styles. How could I ever get the job, competing with a dashing heartthrob? Or with two men, completely stone-faced, after suddenly barging into the place. There was also a woman in our midst, with a giant gun who seemed pretty pissed. When I followed her gaze, I understood why. There was a creepy, glowing green guy. His scythe first hooked my attention, but then it was pulled in another direction. Thanks for reading. I'll have the next parts for the coming weeks.
That was pretty good. Who's the two men completely stone-faced? That's the only like allusion to a champion that I couldn't get.
Malphite and
Malphite support?
Malphite and Galio, yeah. The two stone characters. The
Stone Bros.
I love that video. Next, you go over to the Stone... Is it Stone Brothers? Stone Brothers?
Yeah, the Stone Brothers.
The Stone Brothers, the Rude Dudes, the... Fuck. Are they just dogs? I don't remember.
Dogs, I think. I think it's just dogs.
The Rude Dudes are my favorite. The Pro's Heck Guide to Mastery is what, that's what that's from. Mm-hmm. That's like... I bet most classic. Of our listeners haven't seen that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so fucking
good. How many views do you think that video has?
I bet it's been re-uploaded a bunch of times.
More than 7, at least.
I'm going to say like 300,000, I guess. The Pro as Heck.
It has 805,000.
Huh. You guys should watch it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was not the originals.
Yeah, the original got taken down. Yeah, so the upload has 800,000. Yeah. So, yeah, you guys should watch that, though. The Pro's Heck Guide to Mastery.
You can see how dog trash the game used to look.
Game used to look so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we can link it in the live chat.
Yeah.
Is that the cool. Cannot be slowed one?
Thank you, Speedy Spikes. I think so. Hacky is a noob lord.
So good.
Oh, man. Next email's from S'mores, who said, "Hey guys, first off, I love your show, even though I just recently discovered it. I am a mid main, my summoner name being S'mores, and assassins are definitely my favorite class. I've played at least 5 games with every champ in the game in the 4 years that I've played. I've switched between being a mid and jungle main a few times, with gold 1 being my highest rank that I've achieved, despite falling to gold 4 by the end of the season. I'm constantly working on improving my macro, and I enjoy listening to the advice that you give on the podcast. Do you have any ideas as to how to best stick with a champ? I think I would find more success if I kept my champion pool smaller and was able to limit test as opposed to playing various champions for just a couple of weeks at a time. Thanks, and keep up the great podcast, S'mores." I mean, honestly, your best bet is to play it until you get tired of it, and then play someone very similar who fulfills a similar role. And then go back once you're bored of that champion and kind of rotate between the two. where you're kind of playing the same style of champion every game, so you don't have to think about that as much. But you still get the variety, I suppose, of playing, you know, not Trundle every game.
I would also say, like, if you want to, I think picking, like, a role to be maining for a time is not bad, where it's like, this month I'm going to play AD carry, and, like, next month I'm going to play mid. You're not going to climb as well or play as consistently as you would sticking to one thing, and again, like, that's definitely a fault of how I play the game, but if I'm, like, every single game being like, well, I'll just queue fill and maybe I'll play top or mid or jungle, I'm not going to do as well if it's just like, hey, I'm playing AD carry for 2 weeks until I get bored of it, and then I'm going to go back to jungle or top.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's tough constantly switching between stuff.
It is. It is. I mean, there's a reason LS recommends everyone just play Annie every game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can focus on other things. As meme-y as it is. Thank you, S'mores, and good luck. Welcome aboard.
Yeah. Our next email is from Ethan. It says, hi, I play AD carry and top. AD carry sucks when you go 9-0 in lane and 3-1 Fizz one-shots you. I have a solution to this. Yorick. I love him and find that paired with a Nautilus or a Leona, he can wreck. I go Triforce into Death's Dance, Conqueror plus Approach Velocity, and feel like I can carry much easier because of the tankiness and healing with Death's Dance and Conqueror. Yorick is insane. People should try him out. It's weird because you're also describing Ezreal right now.
I also think there's going to be issues a lot of the times when you don't play a like very high damage bot laner or melee bot laner, I suppose. That's not an AD carry, because I could imagine Yorick getting poked out of any AD carry lane.
Yeah.
Any AD carry range support lane pretty easily.
Yeah.
Especially if you have like a Leona who maybe she, I don't know, maybe she can't go in every single time. And there's no like dash follow up, like with a Pantheon or Renekton, it's a little easier. But hey, if it's working for you, go for it. Who cares? So nice. Thank you. Thank you, Ethan. I agree with you on the 80 carries. Our next email is from Lil Barnabas, who said, hey, Diamond fam, hopefully including Nick by now. Ooh, we are primarily a Platinum fam at the moment. Here's my Yumi fix. W, when you jump from a champion to a champion, you grant a shield for 1 second. Make her E less effective after a certain number of charges on the same champion. Your boy Lil Barnabas also here's a tip. If you guys are going to get married and talk about how expensive it is, don't tell your future spouse how much you spent on League. It doesn't end well. Yeah, I imagine. Like, my only excuse is that I've done it over the course of a decade.
Let's just put it this way. Kennedy doesn't know, and she's not going to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely don't want Savannah to know. But I don't know. Like, it's over 10 years, right? I feel like that's not bad.
It's a little bad regardless for me.
They're just no. It's just been an investment in the podcast.
Nick, I'm gonna DM your number, and I think it's higher than this, okay?
And my number is lower than yours, by the way.
Yeah, I know that.
This is my number.
I'm not even gonna share a quote. Nick, I just need you to make a noise based on what my number is. Okay. It's over this number. For sure, because this is the last time I checked, and this was on one account because I had money on other accounts as well, okay?
Okay. No. Aiden, no.
I know it's more than that.
No. No. Okay. My number is drastically lower than that. Holy shit. Okay. I'm here now. And the idea that Colton's is higher than that is terrifying.
There's no way Colton. Okay, I don't think so there's a world where Colton's is higher than that, by the way.
I just pulled mine up, and there's one number with a colon and one with a dollar sign. What's the colon?
It's because they used to, all the RP purchases before, like, season 2 were done through one currency. Like, I know you were US the entire time, but, like, it was, like, all under that, like, global amount. Now it's, like, it separates them by US. Like, I have Canadian for mine as well.
So do I add these together?
Yeah, you add them together.
Is there a quick link that I can look at?
Just Google like how much I spent on League and then log in to the League.
Yeah, it's like a website.
Oh boy. I think I'm pretty sure it counts all the RP that's been applied to your account.
Yes, if you get like someone like
tournament wins.
Yeah, does tournament wins. It also does, like, even if you didn't make a transaction, if you added, like, a prepaid card, like, maybe someone else bought for you at some point.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, so I think there's a good chunk of mine that was from tournament wins, but my number's still pretty up there.
I think you got a lot from tournament wins. Like, you grinded those a lot.
Yeah, but still, we'll talk after the show.
Yeah. And Nick, here's my exact number according to this, by the way. Just to, like, give you, it's lower than that, by the way, but it's,
Oh, nice.
It's...
okay, that, I mean, nice that it's lower? That number's not nice.
Yeah, it's not a nice
number. It's still not nice. I mean, okay, let's see. Divided by 10, divided by 12, okay.
And you also...
You know, when you, when you break it down by the number of years and the number of months that you've been playing,
yeah,
it's not that bad.
It's not off, it's just not good.
Yeah, I spend about $10 a month on League on average.
That's not bad at all. Actually.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Cool.
Cool.
Based on that metric, I think that the amount that I've put into like via tournaments has to be way up there.
Yeah.
Because I just did that metric of like how much do I spend a month on League, and that does not seem right.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
I think that's a pretty good idea for for fixing Yumi. We forgot to answer that part of it. But it's not bad. I think the idea is definitely like we need to get her to move around more and not just sit on the same character.
Yeah.
And I think we're all like approaching this from different different angles, I suppose, but with the same idea, which is good.
Yeah, I think that it's clear to like be able to say like this is a problem, and again, solutions to a problem come in very, very different ways. Okay. The next email is from Climber? Hi guys, Climber here. I've been listening to the show for a while, but this is my first time emailing in. Recently, one of my friends told me that League of Legends characters meet the criteria for being a character in a Smash Bros. Game. Regardless of if this is true, I thought it was a cool idea. My question is, which champ would you want to see in a Smash Bros. Game, and what would their final Smash be? Sorry for the long email. Climber. Is that a meme? It's like three lines.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I definitely do think some people are like, oh, my email, it's not good enough to take up time. Like, I think a lot of people have that mindset, but that's like a very short email, so I'm not sure.
I mean, I think that's a meme at this point, yeah. Right? It's just people saying that. So I think, in my opinion at least, if we're putting it a character in Smash, it has to be Melee. Because I don't think a ranged character works.
Oh, I thought you meant it has to be like for Smash Melee. And I'm like, Nick, that game came out 20 years ago. Let go.
No, I'm sorry. It has
I thought
to be
that
a melee
at first,
character.
Too, and then I realized what he meant.
It has to be a Melee character because I don't think others work, I suppose.
Yeah, ranged characters don't work in it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Because, I mean, projectile spammer or projectile focused Smash characters have historically not done well. Honestly, I'd love to see, like, Fiora. That'd be sick.
Yeah, Fiora would be really cool.
I don't know how you would implement it in a 2D space, but actually, no. You could just,
like
hit them
from
the top.
Behind, above,
yeah.
Below.
That'd be sick. Yeah, that'd be cool. I also think Gangplank would be cool, playing around barrels.
Mm-hmm.
You can just shoot the item barrels and blow them up.
How busted would it be if you could just orange and immediately recover from a combo?
That would be,
that'd be pretty crazy, actually.
What if you didn't have a recovery to compensate?
Didn't have an up B?
Yeah.
Your upbeat's
Drew,
just
you haven't
oranges.
Been playing for that long. Oh. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Wait. How much did you say? Holy fuck.
Drew, how long... Drew, how many... Sorry, like...
Drew, how long have you been
we're
playing?
We're having an intervention
how many
real
months?
Quick. Drew just posted his numbers $3,800. Drew, how many months have you been playing? How many years? Drew, tell us right now. We're having an intervention.
I'm going to say less than three.
I feel like he hasn't been playing for very long. I feel like it's less than five for sure. Holy fuck, Drew. Do you need help?
Drew, put in like a Subway gift card. Oh, no, Subway gift cards work. You can't do that in place of your credit card. Okay. Hey, you know what? As long as it's not influencing his life negatively, who cares? Go for it, dude.
Yeah.
True. Imagine this, though. Imagine if all that money you'd spent building yourself a really nice PC to play a better game on.
To play the very same exact game at the same resolution and the same frame rate.
Or buying a car.
Yeah, hopefully you'd want a nicer car than that, but that's a sick-ass down payment on a car.
Hopefully the amount of money you've spent on League is not more than the amount of money you spent on your car. Anyway.
If you spent more money on League than on a car, you might be a redneck.
Yes, the podcast is on Drew. You just got your own segment because you posted $4,000 worth of money that you spent in 5 years on League.
Anyway.
On this episode of How Many Dollars Has Drew Spent This Week? We learned that it's 3,800.
It's wild.
Cool. Thanks for the email, Climber. Do you guys have any Smash characters that you want to put in?
Tom Kench.
I think I'm the only one who answered. Would you just eat the guy?
Yeah.
Hit him 3 times, chomp him.
I know that'd be like he's asking for Final Smashes. Final Smash to be the eat.
Oh, Final Smash.
Yeah. It does like a bunch. It's like Zelda's Final Smash in Ultimate, where like it does a lot of damage, but if they're over like a certain amount, it just kills them. But he would do the same thing. He'd just swallow them if they're over a certain percent.
I would add Echo, I think. And I think his recovery would just be the trail of, like, you go where you were, like, a second ago.
Oh, that'd be so sick.
Yeah, and I think that his ultimate smash, I feel like it would probably have to be, like, his dash E, where it's, like, if you line it up properly, it hits him for, like, a crazy amount. Where you get, like, one dash, and then, a hit. I don't know.
You could just use his ability from TFT, right? Where it freezes time and then hits enemies, like, hit by it?
Yeah, freezes time in an area, and then he just gets, like, a certain amount of hits.
Mm-hmm.
Or he can,
that'd
like,
be
set
cool
up his combo.
With, like, a projectile that comes back to you. I know I'm describing Link's boomerang, but that'd be sick. Nice. Thanks, Climber. Next email is from hfire/jade, long time no email, guys. Hfire/jade here, your personal sushi chef in ARAM scrub. So I was stuck on your conversation last week about Riot adding a Valorant champ to League, and I think I came up with something unique but balanceable. The agent could be any agent, and this still work. Jet as example. Passive, one item slot is reserved for a special shop item that affects your range and gives additional stuff based on your choice. You can change it whenever and could lose it on death. Maybe be able to pick it back up where you die. Okay, that'd be it'd have to be a pretty fucking strong special item.
Mm-hmm.
And they list some stuff where it affects your guns. Okay, so you like upgrade guns. Okay, I get it. You upgrade your guns.
Which is upgrading your basic auto attack, range, damage, etc.
Yeah. So I guess this idea would be for an AD carry. Which I guess they would have to be, almost. So Q would be an upward dash to get over walls, maybe slightly directional. W would be a long-range Lucian E that can't cross walls unless used with Q. E would be a semi-controllable long-range sight blocking orb. So like nearsightedness, I guess.
Yeah.
Ultimate would be 5 infinite range, improve auto attacks as skill shots. Think single pixel width skill shot. If you kill, it resets all 5 blades.
That's kind
of
cool, actually.
Also, keep up the hella good podcast, boys. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the patron shows. Thanks, hfire/jade. PS, when COVID dies down, probably a long way away for Texas, I'm planning a trip to Dallas, so we should do a meetup. Nick and Aiden should come too. That would be fun. I'm always down to do a meetup. Maybe we haven't done one in a couple of years that we have been opened to listeners, but
yeah, I know there's I think 3 or 4 other listeners in this area that have reached out to me, so it would not be a bad place, even if, you know, it wasn't a big thing, but currently events in public.
It's gonna be a while. So at the very least, I think that's a super sick idea. I like the sort of, so it functioned like an AD carry, like an AD carry Victor, basically, where you're augmenting, but you're augmenting your auto attacks as the game goes on. I think these I think these particular upgrades would need to be quite expensive. But I think it's dope. That'd be sick. Thank you, HFire/Jade.
Next email we have here is from Bobby. It says, hi guys, Bobby here again. What do you think of a night mode in normals for League? Your champions would have 25% less vision and wards would see 50% less.
How does night work in Dota?
Every 5 or 10 minutes it switches to night mode. Characters have reduced vision. wards have the same vision, I think.
Okay.
And then certain abilities...
yeah, like character-specific stuff, yeah.
Yeah, there's a character called Night Stalker who becomes one of the best characters in the game during the nighttime.
Yeah.
I mean, he's okay otherwise. And his ultimate is he turns into night for a while.
I don't think it's a bad mechanic. I feel like having your vision like change based on like the game like is kind of cool.
I think so, too. I think I would have to... That falls more in line with a fun game mode, I guess, like a rotating game mode. Mechanic rather than like a like exclusively in normals, but I don't dislike it.
I also think that this could be something that we're like, if they decided to add night in League of Legends 2, I don't think I'd be upset.
Yeah,
at all.
I agree.
I agree. Yeah. Nice. Thank you, Bobby. I also love that his email is very short, and he says, "Hi guys, Bobby here," and then ends it with Bobby.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, and ends it with Bobby 20 words later.
Bobby, shout out to you. Thank you for the email. Next one is from Timo Gober, who says, sup, LeeCast, tell Aiden happy Canada Day. Okay, bye.
You mean happy 3 days till America Day?
Yeah. Happy Canada Day, Aiden.
Thanks, buddy.
Is Canada Day, like, a large celebration?
Usually, not during COVID.
Like, well, yeah, not during COVID because you guys have brain cells.
Yeah, our beaches are shut down. We usually go down to, like, the beach and, like, watch fireworks and stuff.
Nick, the difference is that if they get fucked up there... They don't have to pay for their health care.
True.
They don't go bankrupt from their hospital bills because their nation supports it.
True.
But yeah, like fireworks and stuff. It's fun.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, it's not... It
I wonder if they're still going to have fireworks. Usually, like at the beaches and stuff, like at the waterfront, like, sort of thing, like, they have, like, fireworks there and everyone, like, watches. I wonder if they're still going to have fireworks even though the waterfront's, like, closed and I don't think there's any celebrations going on.
I think it'd be really an issue because, like, people would come to see it and they would not distance appropriately.
It'd be cool to see from my house, though.
Policing that crazy. Yeah. But, like, if they did it, people would find out where it was and they would pack in as close as possible.
They probably won't be right.
They would do that.
It also saves them a fucked amount of money because fireworks are expensive. It's one of those things. If you ever see, like, the budget for, like, a town's firework, like, for celebration, it's a lot of money for, like, a 10-minute show.
I didn't realize that. That's
it's
insane.
It's so funny to think of that as just, like, a concept of, like, try and explain to somebody, like, well, on an important day that we have, we just buy a bunch of bombs and we just shoot them up in the air.
Yeah.
And it's real pretty.
And everyone goes wild for it.
Well, I'm looking up the firework cost for... We had our 150th a couple of years back, right, for Canada. And apparently the cost for the 20-minute show was $250,000 in Toronto.
Holy shit.
Like, obviously, that's a bigger celebration in the biggest city, but, like, still, that's a fucked amount of money.
Yeah, that's insane. Damn. Thank you, Timo Gober. Happy Canada Day, Canada.
Yeah, next email, and the penultimate email is from Leroy Gankins.
Nice word.
What?
I said nice word.
Thank you, thank you. Hey, LeagueCast, I just wanted to say thank you for helping me improve my play. After listening to this podcast for the past 3 months, my play has become considerably better, and I'm currently in my Silver 1 to Gold promos. I have already won the first two games, and I am hopefully going to get there tonight. Just keep doing the awesome work you guys are doing, and... belong noobs like me reach their goals? Helping noobs like me reach their goals? Is that feel? Yeah, that's my guess. I think the only thing that you're forgetting is that it's gold one, it's gold four to silver one is the promotion, right? Just like you go from diamond four to plat one, that's the direction that you should be aiming.
Yeah, Colton's nailing it.
I mean, he's already won two, right? So it's basically guaranteed. Congratulations on hitting gold, my man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't, he's just gonna free win next time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
True. Do you get a free win to gold?
Yeah, until so. Your last time you get like is gold dude. 2 to gold 1 is the last time.
I like that. Nice. Cool. Our last email is from Pards, who says, "Hey, LeeCast was running it down in some norms with Red Lefty, Cyber Turtle, and Mountain Drew yesterday, and the thought occurred to me after I took my dog Diesel on a walk." That's a fucking good dog name.
Mm-hmm.
How come there are no AD scaling control mages? Why do you think that is? Do you think the Season 11 item update will lead to AD control scaling control mages? Do you have pets? If yes, what are the names? So do you mean mages that... So he's in the chat with us, and I'd like him to clarify, because there's...
I just think he means answers, like there's no control mages in the game with AD scalings, I think is like the idea. Yeah.
That deal physical damage or deal magic damage primarily?
I mean, there's just literally like not a single mage that has an AD scaling, like no AD like ratio on it.
Okay.
Whereas there's AD characters with AP ratios, I think is the idea. Oh no, he's thinking like, why is there no characters that, like that are control mage-esque but don't have AD scalings?
So I mean, the primary reason is because
these abilities,
control mages have very powerful abilities in general, and if you add a control. An AD control mage, they would get the benefit of having very strong abilities in addition to very strong auto attacks. So there's sort of that trade-off usually with control mages have very weak, much weaker auto attacks. And the trade-off is that their abilities are fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then AD carries have the opposite, where in general they have mediocre abilities but extremely powerful auto attacks. Mm-hmm. And mixing those two kind of presents an issue for balance, where then you have to make them have mediocre auto attacks and mediocre abilities, which I guess doesn't fit any of their design choices at the moment.
Yeah, and I think it's an impossible thing. The way that leads is like it's because they're tanks. Like all of the abilities that would be like control mage that scale with AD, like they're on tanks. Like you could call Sion a control mage. Because he does a lot of the same things.
You'd be wrong.
He does a lot of the same things, though, right? Like, he's got nutty zone control. His abilities are super impactful. It's not really about his autos, but, like, it's because he's a tank. And I think that that's what an AD control mage is, for the most part, is, like, they're the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Because, again, if they could build heavy AD and still have those same abilities, like you're saying, it would snowball too hard, and the abilities would be too good. So it's just, like... Okay, well, good. We're going to make their auto attacks not as strong. And what does that leave us with? It leaves us with someone who builds a little bit of AD and has nutty abilities. The melee tanks, like the Scions and the... I'm trying to think of like other good examples of just like characters that have like tons of zone control CC.
Yeah, like Poppy's a good example, yeah.
Yeah, Poppy'd be another good example of like... That's the closest you're going to probably get to an AD control mage.
That's fair. Cool.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you, Parts. We have two dogs. Their names are Ella and Baxter.
I got my puppy Chuck, Chaz, Charlie.
The one and only.
I am currently without pets down here in Texas. I have a cat, Smokey, back home, and I'm probably going to get a dog at some point down here. I just... haven't pulled the trigger on that.
I like the idea of giving a pet like a more normal human name,
like Benjamin.
Oh,
like
I'm 100%
own Jason.
Jason's I'm gonna talk about shit, him like they're my roommate.
Dude. A good one, actually.
I was hanging out with my roommate Phil the other day. Yeah. They come over like, "Where's Phil?" It's like over there. He's fucking licking his balls.
Nah, sorry, Jonathan's hungry, so I gotta hop off. Yeah, Jonathan shit on the floor again. that'd be wonderful. Awesome. That'll do it for this episode of LeeCast. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter at LeeCast and at LeeCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeeCast. Send us emails, mail at LeeCastPodcast.com. LeeCastPodcast.com is where you can check out our website. We have a Discord link on the front page on a little widget. LeeCastPodcast.com/Discord will give you an invite, and you can send us an email, and I'll get you a link quickly. twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardout are where we stream. I'm hoping that this Friday I'm going to be streaming some because we have it off of work, and I think that'd be fun.
Ooh.
And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeeCast. Thank you guys for supporting us, for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.